Welcome to High School Sports Uncensored. Joining me today, man who is, you are one of the biggest hustlers, and I say that as a term of endearment. I don't mean a hustler like used car, sleazy guy. I mean like a guy who's just determined to make something out of this girls' high school basketball world. Al Snell, who's the founder of 695 Hoops. How are you, Al?
I'm doing okay. Trying to fight through this cold or whatever took me over, so excuse my congestion, but I'm doing pretty well other than that.
You take care of that, man. I'm just getting over pneumonia.
Oh, man.
It started off as that's what I thought it was, and that's why we took a little hiatus on the show, because I was battling some stuff myself. Now, Al, I'm 4 years into this high school thing. This is my fourth year. And when I first jumped in, I kept hearing about the 695 Hoops. And you know how when you're new at something, you got to get the nuts and bolts of everything first before you start looking at everything else.
Right.
So after, I think, maybe year two, I started paying attention to 695 Hoops. And it was like, it made my life so much easier because I was able to see what was going on around the high school girls basketball scene without going every place to see it.
Right.
I mean, it was all right there on that website. What inspired you to start this?
Okay, so good question, and I'll tell you exactly what inspired me. I started, I got involved with girls basketball just by chance back in like 99 or 2000. Mm-hmm. My ex-wife's uncle, he was coaching a group of girls in Park Heights. And, you know, he's coming to the house one day and he was saying, you know, coaching these girls over at St. Ambrose, man, they wild girls, they can play, but, you know, I just need some help, man, you know. So I knew the game a little bit. I played and, you know, my cousin, she had played at St. John's and she, you know, had a really good career. So I was always watching the girls' games. So I jumped right in and started helping him coach at St. Ambrose. About 2 weeks after that, my daughter, she was actually going to St. William of York. So she comes home one day and says, well, we need a coach for the girls team at the school. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll take it. I'll help out. So I'm coaching St. William of York, and I'm coaching at St. Ambrose. He's helping me. I'm helping him. So we got two teams going in CYO. About a year later, I run into a coach that was coaching one of the other CYO teams. And she says, hey, I like how you are coaching your team. I like what you do. I have this AAU team. And they're killing me. I'm ready to get away from it. Would you be interested in it? Now, at this point, I really didn't know much about AAU. So a couple of weeks later, I'm in an interview with the parents of the sixth grade team at St. Ambrose. And they're like, you know, we're Baltimore Stars. This is what we do. And, you know, they asked me a bunch of questions. Next thing I know, I'm the coach and I'm running with it. So a year after that, I take that job, you know, 11th grade, 11 and under team. And the guy running it, Jeff Hargrave, he just comes in one day and says, man, I don't want to do this no more. I'm done with it. You can do whatever you want to do. So I'm like, okay, by this point, I'm into it. So, you know, a few years pass by, and I'm looking around 2008. I start to put together my concept that only thing we had was the Baltimore Suns talk form for girls basketball.
Yep.
And the hits on that thing were incredible. It was up to 300,000 hits at one point where people were just coming in writing whatever they wanted to write about the girls. And that was pretty much the source for everything. It was the Baltimore Sun talk form. Problem was everybody had burner accounts, two or three accounts, and they could say whatever they wanted to say without owning it. You know what I mean? So we had a lot of wild stuff going on. It was still the central point of girls basketball. But I said, you know, we need something better where we can corral this, and I'll put my name on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm willing to stand behind everything I say. So I started taking pictures around 2008, talking to everybody that I came across. Everybody that I met was a good person. You know, they all had a different story how they got involved in girls basketball. Nobody just woke up and wanted to be involved in girls basketball, mm-hmm. for the most part, and it just ended up there. So in 2010, I launched 695 Hoops. I had a little whack logo that I had put up. Somebody helped me put that together, and then we just kind of grew with it. We got a better logo, and I just started pumping out interviews with all the players and all the coaches. I let every coach in the area that wanted to talk, I let them tell their story, and we put it together, and, you know, some failures. Try to do a hoop summit the first year out, and everybody was just looking at me like, who are you? What are you talking about? You know, like, what are you trying to do? You trying to get the best players to come and do what? You know, so it just failed miserably the first time I tried to put together, you know, an event. But I just stuck with it. And then we end up having a senior shootout every year where, mm-hmm. this will be our seventh senior shootout coming up in March. So that was that's what motivated me to put that together, you know, and coaching AAU, I didn't think my girls were getting their fair share of, publicity. So I said, well, you know what? I'll give them publicity. If I have to cover every girl in Baltimore and D.C. to give my girls a little bit of pub, I'll do everybody so that they can see we're hanging with everybody in there. So that's what started it. And it's just a lot of times I've been to the Maryland State Championships every year since 2008. I watch every single game, the public school game. I get there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I watch every game. I haven't missed a game in about 7 years now. Actually more than that. So I go and I watch every game. I talk to the coaches. I talk to the players. So if you're doing something for 10 years, 8, 10 years, you get to know people and they trust, my opinion. Sometimes I'm wrong, but I put it out there and I own it. I own everything that I write. So
you're here with Al Snell. He's the founder of 695 Hoops. He's doing so much in the girls basketball community, high school, AAU. I haven't known you for 10 years. I've known you for about 3. My first encounter with you was you let us in the at Mount Carmel. You let us in the public versus private event. Mm-hmm. And that kind of captured my attention because I'm sitting around looking. I'm at Poly and is at Poly and Western at the time, and I'm looking around. I'm like, man, this is awesome, and it really, because I was a college coach converting to high school, but I wasn't a high school coach yet, and that really got the juices flowing for me. Your event, that public versus private, and you're right, you got to be in it for years, and the publicity is not out there. How long did it take you to earn people's respect and earn people's trust for them to give you the access? Because you get tremendous access. You probably don't have to chase as much as you did 10 years ago,
right?
Because I know a lot of it comes to you. How long did it take for you to get on that side?
It took some time. Like I said, that first event I tried to do on my own, it just flopped miserably. But people, what helped was people saw what I was trying to do, mm-hmm. and they come to me with an idea a lot of times. And they'll say, I want to do this. Can you help me with that? So I've become like a promoter of the event since, I've built contacts and things like that. I can help you with your event if that's what you're looking to do. We have Girls Middle School Showcase every year. Somebody had an idea. They tried to do it, and it was it just didn't go anywhere. So one of my coaches, Rob DeBulls, he came to me and said, look, they're trying to do this event. They got this idea. You already have a little bit of following you want to, work with it. And
it's a tremendous event, too.
Right. And I said, let's put it together. So we use the website to draw people in. People want to read about their babies. They want to read about their girls. Yeah. So let's use that as a positive way to put it together. So we've been doing the Girls Middle School Showcase for a few years now because somebody had that idea. So the public versus private, that's my favorite event. It's a one-day event. It's all about the DMV. We only put teams from D.C., Maryland, Virginia in it. I don't allow any talent, invite teams from the top 25 in California. I don't care about that stuff. I don't care about any of those teams that are playing well.
Because you're 695.
695. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. I mean, there are other events that are great events, and I go to those events, and I watch those teams. I like watching them, but I'm not covering. I'm not inviting them to my events. You know what I mean? That's not what I'm here for. So the public versus private, it started at John Carroll. I was coach at John Carroll, assistant coach with Mike Blizzard. And we were just looking to make some money. So he came up with the idea of public versus private. And we started that at John Carroll. And we had some good teams. Aberdeen was really good back then with Bree Jones and that crew that they had. So they came in and we did a Friday and a Saturday event. And we had 11 teams the first year, 10 or 11 teams, something like that. And we did it for 2 years at John Carroll. And then Mike Blizzard, he left. He stopped coaching. So I kept it. I kept the event. I left John Carroll as well, and then I took it down to IND 1 year, and then it expanded, so we had to move it to McDonough, where it's been for the last few years, and we'll keep it there.
I believe it was at Poly Western at 1 year because of snow out, right?
Well, that was actually, we lost two events that year. The public versus private got snowed out, mm-hmm. and then we had the Power Move Winner Showcase that got snowed out as well. So we had to combine them on the fly, and we did it at Poly Western, and we put two events, basically, we had to just kind of make up some of the games.
Right.
So that, it was a combination of those two events at Poly Western there. We did have it there 1 year because we couldn't get it at the original date at McDonough, but it's exploded now. So that event just sells out. I don't even have to promote it anymore. I just send one email. But we already have I have more teams than I'm supposed to have. So I haven't publicly stated that yet. McDonough told me to cut it back this year, but it was too late, so Brad Rees, I'm sure we'll work it out and get these teams in there because I don't want to turn teams away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some of the teams, they're not, powerhouses, but, you know, I want Milford Mill and I want Bryn Mawr to get that game in. You know what I mean? They want to be a part of a great event. Now, you know, they're going to play a good game. The game's probably going to go into overtime because they evenly match, and that's what we try to do. Right. So I don't look at the levels of play. You know what I mean? We have three courts that we'll utilize up there, and, you know, we've had some blowouts in the past, but most of the games are really competitive and entertaining.
It was the first big event that my program at Mount Carmel was and allowed into, to be honest with you. That's how I remember it. You know, and we weren't getting games against people.
And that was a good game, too.
And, I remember that game with Forest Park. Yeah, so it was the first one that, you know, we were pretty much allowed into. So I'm gracious for that. Here with Al Snell, this is High School Sports Uncensored. He is the founder of 695 Hoops. It's a tremendous website for high school girls' high school basketball. Now, you said you've been doing this for 10 years.
We put the site up in 2010. So about eight years.
Yeah, about 8 years. How much has girls' basketball grown in that time?
The business of girls basketball has grown tremendously. When I say the business of girls basketball, the game itself, still about the same. Skill levels of the kids, still about the same. But everybody is hyped up. Everybody has a lot of, recognition. If you can play a little bit, people know who you are. We got social media now. We didn't have all that stuff when I started it. So a lot of tournaments. There's a individual showcase every single weekend. There's all kind of camps that kids can go to. There's just events on top of events on top of events. This year alone, you know, every high school decided they wanted to host an event. So the business of girls basketball has grown tremendously since I started 695 Hoops. I've seen that. Now the game, I mean, that's a whole nother story. There's some really good kids that can play at a high level. It's top heavy. And then you have some kids that are okay, but, they kind of are hyped up because it's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. So sites like 695 Hoops and Next Sports Phenom, we make these kids, you know, people know about them because of what we do. You know what I mean? Write about the kids. And if they show some potential, we let everybody know about it. And then once they get tired of that, they go and they look for some more recognition from, you know, the sites that, you know, that like New York Girls Hoops or people that do things on a national level.
Right.
They want more. You know what I mean? So people want more. So the business is going to keep growing.
You talk about the business of high school basketball, girls' high school basketball, and I agree with you, it has grown. If you could change one thing about the business and the growth of it, what would you change?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if I would change anything. I think everybody, you know, everybody has the right to run their business or run an event if they feel like that's what they want to do. I would like to see the kids play more, just play ball. Without trainers and, cones. And I saw a video the other day of somebody ringing a bell in between the drills. I would just like to see kids in the gym playing. I would like to drive through neighborhoods and see, you know, girls outside playing ball without a trainer, without their dad, without coaches, AAU coaches, or high school coaches. The game is choreographed. Everybody is capitulating. You know, everybody is just putting the whole thing together. So I don't know who loves the game. You know, it's hard to identify which kids really love the game because they're always controlled. You can't just see the kids play without somebody there hovering to, control it or
take credit.
Oh, there's a line of people.
And I'm glad you said that because you don't have to agree with me. I'll say it. I think one of the great evils of girls' high school basketball, and I can only go from the girls' standpoint, I haven't coached boys in almost 20 years. One of the great evils is trainers.
Yes.
They're the equivalent of hangers-on in entertainment. And they serve a good purpose, but they get to the point where, and I'm starting to experience it in my program. When I first got there, nobody was good, so nobody took credit.
Right.
Now, it's turning the page, turning the corner, now you got these people that I never saw before. To me, it seemed to be one of the greatest of evils. And I'll be honest with you, Al, sometimes I see them as using these kids to leverage themselves into other jobs.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. I mean, when, you know, I played ball, I played high school ball, you know, varsity level championship. I didn't play in college or anything. I wasn't that good. But I played classical high school in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. All right.
So some of my teammates played college ball. Some of them, you know, played professionally. So we didn't have any trainers. Mm-hmm. We just went to the gym and played. You know what I mean? So somebody came in with some cones and stuff, we probably looked at them funny. But I don't want to just denigrate all the trainers that are out there. There's some good ones. That,
like people denigrate AAU basketball. When
right.
It's not all bad.
Right. We just roll out the balls. You know what I mean? Like that's what they say. I'm sorry. You need to come to one of our practices and see what we're doing. If you think we're just rolling out the balls, but that's a whole nother topic. But there's some great trainers that I respect, and I let them come in and work with our kids. And
my man Jennifer does a great job down there at Mount St. Joe's on the boys' side.
Okay. Oh,
he does a great job.
Damon?
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin Bullock.
Yep.
Kevin Bullock's great. There's a number of trainers that are good at what they do, and they really help the kids. But that has just kind of replaced just organic, just regular going out and playing. So that's what it is now. Now, there are some that go to the next level. You know, you can see somebody that's training and helping the kids learn how to play the game.
Yeah, you can.
And then you can see somebody that can go take a kid that has 35 offers already from Division I schools, and they get them into some camp or some type of workouts that they're doing, and then they film them, and then they throw these jerseys on them with their company name on them, and they take credit for the kids like they've been, like they created the kid. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if Ashley Owusu from Paul the Sixth is in your training, she's been good since the sixth grade. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's been a major prospect since the sixth grade when she was in the girls' middle school showcase. I'm seeing this kid. And then last year I start seeing people saying, you know, she's been, you know, we're training her. Like, you know, okay, like, I'm just trying to understand the business. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny. It's funny. But, they don't show you, they don't take credit for the kids that can't make a layup with their left hand, that can't shoot. But, you know, you're taking their money, but you're not talking about those kids.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, it's levels to everything. You know, just like the coaches, like you said, there's levels to everything. So not all the trainers are bad, but I think it has definitely taken a game in another direction. And I would like to see that slow down a little bit, just see the kids play some ball.
We were Al Snell, 695 Hoops. Al, we're about a week into the regular season now.
Yes.
You had your fall league, which over there at Pikesville, which, by the way, was the most competitive fall league that we've ever participated in. It was great. You did a great job. Please.
Thank you.
Call us next year. We'll be back. But you've seen a lot of teams. Who are some of the top teams in this area for you in terms of public and private school on the girls' side?
Well, I mean, we have this. I think this is going to be an interesting year because it's kind of wide open. We're going to have our regulars, in the IAAM A conference. You know, you have your St. Francis, which is we're going to start them at number one until somebody proves that they're not. Roland Park and McDonough, who's going to come in second? You know what I mean? That's going to flip flop. You're going to see probably teams split between the three of those teams. They'll battle it out. We've got St. John's Catholic from Frederick moving into the A conference.
Yeah.
And
IND. We just played them Saturday.
Right. And Institute of Notre Dame, IND, they've moved up as well. So they're competitive teams that will kind of change the landscape of the A conference. Not saying that they're going to come in and knock off, you know, the big three, the top three, but those are not nights off. You know what I mean? They have legitimate players, and the teams like John Carroll and Spalding and even Pilates. Which I think is going to surprise some people. I think they look pretty good so far. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the IAAM. The public schools, you know, we'll have the usual Howard County's, you know, big two out there, Longreach and Howard. Mm-hmm. I got those two still being strong. Howard may be able to get over that hump this year because Catonsville may fall back a little bit to the pack. I'm not writing Catonsville off, though, because they have great coach and they do have some transfers that came in there to help them a little bit. But I think Howard is set up to get past represent 4A this year. Western may have something to say about that. You know, they're always competitive as well. They've been in that mix. It's always been Catonsville, Western, and Howard who's going to get down there. So like those teams to still get in the mix. And then, you know, you have Polly. They're going to be tough
Kendall
as well.
Does a great job over there.
She does. Those kids, they really play hard for her. So they're in my top five, top six, I would say. Polly's going to be in that. And 3A, they're a 3A contender. You know, every year they'll be a 3A contender. So we'll see if they can work their way through and get some favorable matchups. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. So can Polly get down there? Absolutely they can. And then we have Pikesville. They're a contender in 1A as well as Coppin Academy. Pikesville, they're the class of Baltimore County right now.
Coach Duke, yeah, he turned that around, man, quickly.
Quickly. And that's a testament to how people feel about him. You know what I mean? He's like the first basketball friend I had. You know what I mean? When I started doing this, we just struck up a friendship when I started doing AAU. And we, you know, we talk on the phone a couple of times, 2-3 times a week, almost every day sometimes, just about, you know, basketball and the game and things. And when he came to me and said, look, you know, this is, I'm thinking about taking this job. What do you think? Can I count on your support? And I, you know, immediately I knew he could turn that around. Excuse me. So, you know, he's a respected guy in the community of girls. You know, he looks out for the kids, always kids first. So you can see when the program goes from like 4 wins and then to like 19 or 20 yeah. the next year, people are gravitating towards him because, you know, what he's put out there. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been at St. Francis. He's been at Towson Catholic. He's been around. He's coached AAU. So, you know, he's well-liked and he's a good guy. So people had no problem bringing their kids to play for him. And that's why that program is where they are. Coppin Academy, you know, they were the charter school and they decided to join 1A last year. So they made it to the Final Four in 1A, and I don't see any reason why they can't do that again. excuse me, coach. They have some athletes and they have a good coach, Chris Hardy. So look for Pikesville and Coppin to represent the Baltimore side in the 1A championship. That's what I think will happen. And then, you know, you have Oakland Mills that made a run last year
right.
out of Howard County. And favorably, they've picked up some transfers, and Coach Walt has them he has them locked in, and they're believing in what he's, you know, he's doing out there. You know, he's a great leader. So they could make another run as well. They could make some noise in Howard County itself. I could have them maybe the third or fourth best behind Longreach and Howard, but I'm not saying that they're not going to come in and not beat those teams when they play them. So those are games that I'm definitely going to look forward to. I live right across the street from Oakland Mills, so I'll definitely get to check out you know, those matchups when they do play them. So don't sleep on Coach Walt in that group.
One of the things that's interesting this year, early on in the year, is we're here with Al Snell from 695 Hoops. I think at one point, if I'm not mistaken, C Conference may have been, they may have been 4-0 against the B Conference early on this year in these wow. non-conference matchups. I don't know if you've been watching, but I think Catholic beat St. Mary's and if I'm not mistaken, Indian Creek has 2 wins early on against the B Conference. So
I can see that. there may be some, you know, there may be some weakening of the B Conference because, you know, you're taking the two past champions out. You know, you're taking IND and St. Right. St. John's up. But, you know, I always tell people the A Conference was about talent. B Conference is about coaching. Mm-hmm. And that's from coaching in the B Conference for 3 years. There are really no bad coaches in the B Conference from what I came across. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what they're doing. There's no bad coaches in any of them as far as I'm concerned, but I always notice that the same teams usually have success in the B Conference. But now you're seeing, I think people are probably going to pencil in Mount DeSales because they've been a thorn in the side
yeah.
of the champions.
And she's probably, good.
Right, she's good. And I think people are going to probably pencil them in as the favorites, but I like your group, Mount Carmel. I've been talking about Mount Carmel, and people have been noticing the drastic improvement in a year or two mm-hmm. you know, that you guys have shown. So I want to give you your props for putting that together.
Thank people, you. I'm going to edit this out, though.
people are noticing that. leave it in. People are noticing what's going on there. So depending on how the seeds fall out, I wouldn't be surprised to see Mount DeSales and Mount Carmel battling for that B Conference championship. I'd be actually disappointed if it comes down to you guys playing in the semifinals. You know, I'd like to see both teams playing for that championship on that championship Sunday. Now, somebody else may have something to say about that.
Yeah. St. Paul's is really good.
They're a really good team. So
yeah.
I don't want the St. Paul's people to get mad at me.
They're really good.
Come in and knock somebody off next week. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So we have them in the public-private event. So always look forward to seeing them. They have some exciting players and good coaching, again. So we'll see what they bring to the table as well.
Before we let you get out of here, Al, who are some of the top players in the area that either you know girls high school basketball or not, but you want to see these kids play?
All right, well, you always have the regulars. I mean, you got the big ticket over there, St. Francis, Angel Reese. You know, she's a great player. She's long, about 6'5 now, at least with the length that she has. So she's one of the ones that you're going to see. It doesn't matter if you want to or not. You're going to have to see her. Anaya Russell from IND, she's got about 30-something offers from D1 schools, some of the top programs in the country. So she's always fun to watch. Got Mira McLean over there, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Jumps over the roof, jumps over people. She does what she wants to do out there mm-hmm. At Roland Park. Rain Green's another exciting athletic player that I like to watch. She does her thing. and her backcourt mate, Janai Henson, they could put it together this year and give people some problems. So those kids from the IAAM, you always want to check for them. Asia Petty, big post player from IND. She has a lot of college offers as well, and I think that's a good pickup. She's transferring over from Newtown, so that's a big help for IND. Public schools, I think a big unknown or unknown quantity. She's known, but I think she's going to have a big year. Sharia Roberts from Pikesville, active on the glass. Kind of reminds me of Mary McLean a little bit, the way she plays the game. So I think she's going to surprise some people. Sleeper that people don't know about, I like Kayla Henderson from Coppin Academy. She's one of the most underrated kids in the area. She straps up on defense. She'll lock down the best guard on the other team. And then she's averaging about 20 points a game. Definitely a player to watch there. There's a few that we'll be publishing in the next couple of days on 695 Hoops. So you get to see that.
Has your top 20 come out yet?
It's coming out shortly.
Shortly?
It's coming out shortly, okay. Right.
Tell folks about the website and what they can expect when they go to it.
You can check us out at www.695hoops.com. We'll have a lot of updated content coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll be doing a story on some kids that have moved around, some transfers. We'll be doing a feature on Delisha Pinnick. She was at St. Francis, but she'll be moving over to she moved over to New Hope. So they're down in PG County, but she's poised to have a big season. So you'll see that. You'll see our rankings and our we don't do ratings of players, but we definitely will have our high school rankings every couple of weeks. We'll update that for the high school teams.
Is the next big event for you public versus private? Or do you have something before that?
We have the winner showcase on December 15th at IND. So we have three varsity games there. McDonough will take on Emotep from Philadelphia, charter school up in Philadelphia. Bishop Ireton will play IND, and Franklin High School is going to take on John Carroll. And then we have some JV games in there as well between IND and St. Francis Academy. So it'll be a nice day of basketball. And then the public-private is January 12th at McDonough. And then, we do have a holiday event at Wise down in PG County this year with eight teams, two teams. So you can see all that information on the site. We'll have that updated this week. And I'm looking forward to it, man. It's that time of year.
You are the man, Al.
Thanks, bro. Thanks. Appreciate you having me in.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for your time. This is my man, Al Snell from 695 Hoops. This is High School Sports Uncensored. And we'll see you next week.